This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hour number two, the Saturday Get-Together here on CBS Sports Radio. Jody Mack coming your way live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. Home is so much more than a house. It's the home of your dreams. And for 30 years, they've been making it better. Rocket Mortgage. Push button, get mortgage. All right, will it be push button for either the Seattle Seahawks or the Philadelphia Eagles tomorrow in the final wild card game of the weekend? I doubt it. I think it's going to be a hard fought game. Here to lend us some insight is a guy who covers the Eagles day in and day out for their radio home in Philadelphia and writes for their website, 94WIP.com. He's been covering the Birds for years for several outlets, does it for their home radio station. These days, Elliot Shore Park joins us here on CBS Sports Radio. How are you, ESP?
Hey, what's going on, Jody? Thanks for having me on.
My pleasure. Thank you for coming on. First things first, for the last at least 2 months, if not more than that, you'd even say more than that because Deshaun Jackson goes all the way back to the second game of the season. The Birds have been walking wounded. Everybody has their injuries in the National Football Leagues. Sometimes they accumulate and some teams are stricken more than others. I would say that's fair to say about the Eagles this year. They've overcome a lot, and they may even get a couple of the walking wounded back tomorrow. Give us the latest on Birds' injuries.
Yeah, just to put in perspective for those that might not know, the Eagles will go into tomorrow's game without their top three wide receivers, their top running back, their starting right tackle, their starting right guard, their starting linebacker, and one of their starting cornerbacks. So even getting healthy, they're still going to be missing quite a few projected starters from week one. The good news is it does look like they'll go into tomorrow getting some guys back. Zach Ertz reportedly has been medically cleared to play. He's suffering from a lacerated kidney as well as a broken rib, but it looks like he's going to give it a go tomorrow. Miles Sanders, the running back rookie out of Penn State, that's arguably the offensive rookie of the year, he's going to start. Jalen Mills, their starting cornerback, is going to be back. So even just from week 17 to now, they're getting a few guys back. Overall, though, still one of the most injured teams, I would say, in the postseason.
No, I would say the three guys they got back are pretty key guys, even though those who filled in for them have done a pretty nice job. Those are guys who have been major contributors this year. Ones that are still out, and you did mention them when you ran down the litany of Eagle injuries, the right side of their line. Now, they've only got one all-pro offensive lineman, and tip of the helmet to Jason Kelce, who makes it again and has had a phenomenal season. But if you ask me who the two best Eagle offensive linemen are, it's Brandon Brooks, their right tackle, and Lane Johnson, their right guard, or vice versa. Neither one of which is going to play. That was the case last week when Brooks got hurt in-game. Johnson's been out for the last couple. Do the next men up on the right side of the offensive line do a good enough job for the Birds tomorrow in your estimation?
Yeah, I think they will. And the reason I do is because offensive line coach Jeff Stoutland, probably the best offensive line coach in the league. He's had this offensive line playing at a high level for ever since he's gotten here. And what he's done a great job is of dealing with guys when they're injured, of getting their next men up ready. I mean, they won a Super Bowl with Vitae at left tackle. They've played with Andre Dillard at right tackle. I mean, so I think going into the game tomorrow, you're going to see Vitae at right tackle and then Matt Pryor, a second-year player, sixth-round pick at a TCU. He's going to be the right guard. And these two guys have never played in a game together. Matt Pryor has never really played any snaps of substance. He played a little bit last week after Brooks went down. But it's no question it's an inexperienced right side of the offensive line. But I think the combination of Jeff Stoutland combined with, let's face it, not a great Seattle Seahawks pass rush should make the offensive line not a concern for the Eagles tomorrow.
Well, that not great Seattle pass rush held the Philadelphia Eagles to 6 points when these two teams met 6 weeks ago. And oh, by the way, it was an oh, by the way score with 20 seconds to play, which kept the Eagles from being shut out but didn't really have an impact on the outcome of the game. How did the Seattle defense hold the Eagles down so well, sans pass rush?
Well, look, you have to give Seattle credit. I mean, they have owned Doug Peterson and Carson Wentz. Since 2016, Doug and Carson have played this team three times. They're only averaging 11 points per game against Seattle. So Pete Carroll and his defense have done a good job against them. That being said, when they played a few weeks ago, the Eagles turned the ball over five times, and it could have been six if not for a recovered fumble that Carson put on the ground. Carson had two interceptions, two fumbles, and really since then has done a great job taking care of the ball. So as good as Seattle has been against the Eagles, I think the Eagles go into tomorrow and they say, you know what, if we just don't turn the ball over five times and we lean on some of the young players who weren't playing last time, they feel a lot more confident about what their offense can do.
You mentioned Pete Carroll and Russell Wilson, who is also undefeated against the Eagles. The coach and quarterback combination of Philadelphia hasn't been able to get a win. The coach and combination on the other side hasn't lost. What is it about Russell Wilson's abilities that has been able to lift his teams past sometimes some pretty good Eagle defenses?
Yeah, well, just to put into perspective how good Russell Wilson's been against the Eagles in the games he's played them, he has as many receiving touchdowns as he does interceptions. So he's been a major problem for them. Now, the thing I will say is Russell Wilson, on a larger scale, in the playoffs has not been as good on the road. He's 2-4 on the road, I believe, and 1-3 in his last four playoff games. So he's struggled a little bit outside of Seattle, where he's undefeated. So I do think it's a big deal that the game is in Philadelphia. But in terms of why he causes the Eagles so much trouble, the Eagles have struggled with mobile quarterbacks, whether it's Andrew Luck last year, Marcus Mariota last year, and Russell Wilson when they played him as well. Cam Newton had a good game against him. So they've always struggled against guys that can move the pocket and extend plays. And part of that's because their cornerbacks are, frankly, not that good. They have Jalen Mills, who plays well, but outside of that, they're pretty inexperienced. So when Russell Wilson extends plays, he's been able to do damage to the Eagles' defense.
I proposed this theory last night, see if you buy into it at all. One of the things that actually does scare me about this game from an Eagle perspective is Russell Wilson with his legs. Now, that's twofold. Number one is him making plays out of the pocket. I don't know if you can even defend that, because if he's going to do it, he's going to do it. They're not going to bring seven to make sure that he absolutely has to get rid of the ball on a three-step drop. But the thing that scares me more is Russell Wilson actually turning it up and getting positive yardage by running the football. Now, he's not the runner that he was when he first came out of college, but he's not bad either. And last week, Daniel Jones made a couple of plays running the football for the Eagles. Is that something Doug Peterson must be wary of prior to this game?
Yeah, I definitely think that's something you should be worried about. I mean, you mentioned Daniel Jones last week had a few big runs against him, and frankly could have had more if he held on to it a few more times instead of handing it off to Saquon. The one benefit, though, I will say is the Seahawks are extremely banged up at running back, as you well know. So I don't know how much the Eagles are going to be worried about the run game in terms of, you know, run-pass option plays. They can probably bet that the ball is not going to be handed off. But I think overall, when you look at the Seahawks, as now, if they get out of that tomorrow and the ball's in Russell Wilson's hands more, that's no good for the Eagles, because the Eagles should say thank you every time they run the ball, because they have Marshawn Lynch back there. The Eagles are great against the run. So the Eagles are hoping tomorrow they stick with what they have been doing, which is a run-first offense.
All right. One of the guys who in the passing game is capable of making plays for them is a guy the Eagles could have drafted this past year, and that was DK Metcalf.
Yeah.
Instead, they took J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, who, while at least he's available and eligible to play, he has not made plays when given the chance here in his rookie season. Metcalf is a very big wide receiver. The Eagles' corners are good, and Jalen Mills has been a massive addition when he came back in midseason from his injuries. But the one thing they don't have is size. Are they going to be okay trying to cover DK Metcalf?
Well, Rasul Douglas should play tomorrow. He's a little bit bigger. He's about 6'3", so he does have some size. Doesn't have speed, though. He has trouble hanging with guys down the field. DK Metcalf, he gave them some problems in the first game. He could have had a touchdown that he dropped. I believe he had one big catch down the sideline. So, yeah, he's a guy they could have drafted. They went with J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, who might lose snaps tomorrow to practice squad and former undrafted rookie Rob Davis. So, things have been a struggle for him early on, but it'll be interesting to see how they handle Metcalf, because as I mentioned, with so many injuries at running back, the Seahawks are going to try to pass the ball, and Metcalf is their best receiver outside of Tyler Lockett.
Yeah, I think he's going to be a major target tomorrow. All right, Eagles on the offensive side. The guys that have just come out of nowhere to make plays week after week after week for the Eagles have been a phenomenon. As a matter of fact, I call them PSAs, practice squad alumni. Everybody's got a nickname for them these days. Yeah. And they've all stepped up huge coming off the practice squad. Which out of that group of guys who spent time on the practice squad earlier this season who have contributed for the Eagles on offense, who do you think's sitting on the biggest game tomorrow?
It's tough to say. Greg Ward, the receiver that was a former college quarterback, he's been with the team for about 3 years. He's been Carson's go-to guy. I mean, he had the game-winning catch against Washington 2 weeks ago. He had a touchdown earlier on against the Giants. So he's played at a very high level. But the guy I think is more set for a big game is Boston Scott. Undrafted rookie. He was on the New Orleans Saints practice squad. And for those that haven't seen him play tomorrow, he'll remind you of Darren Sproles. He's small. He's quick. He's elusive. The Eagles like to get him involved in the passing game. And the combination of him and Miles Sanders, also a rookie, not a practice squad, but a rookie player, are averaging almost 200 yards per game combined over the last three games. So they've been in the end zone 7 times. They've really fueled the Eagles' offense. So the Seattle is one of the worst teams in the league against the run. I believe they average, they allow the fourth most yards per carry on average this season. So I think you're going to see the Eagles run the ball quite a bit, and I think Boston Scott's going to be the beneficiary of that.
And did I see this correctly on Twitter, that last night he had an appearance in Philadelphia, and there was a 2-hour wait to get his autograph? A guy who 6 weeks ago you could have bumped into and you wouldn't have a clue who he was. People were lining up in the mall to get his autograph last night in Philly, huh?
Yeah, and then the night before that, Greg Ward was at a restaurant, and an Eagles fan came up and sang him a song. So fans are certainly loving these young Eagles receivers, mostly young Eagles players, I should say, because they helped turn the season around. So the life of Greg Ward, the life of Boston Scott, has certainly changed quite a bit over the last 5 weeks.
All right. You're there every single day. You know what it's been like this season for Carson Wentz. He is a lightning rod player. There are two groups of fans in Philadelphia, the Carson disbelievers and the Carson loyalists, and never the two shall meet. And he just seems to drive opinions both ways. He has certainly quieted some of the Carson critiques, those who critique him over the last 4 weeks, with as many good performances and specific come from behind type victories that he's gotten. How important is tomorrow's game? Has he put most of his critics in his back pocket, and as long as he just doesn't screw it up tomorrow, everyone will believe the Eagles are good to go for quarterback next year? Or must he win his first ever playoff game?
Yeah, so I like to call myself a Carson realist. I think that Carson's season has been a roller coaster, which is why you see so many people divided. Earlier on this year, he did not play well. His accuracy was an issue. They lost a lot of close games where he had the ball late. But over the last month, he's done a lot to really show that he can be a franchise quarterback. He had a game-tying and a game-winning drive against the Giants. He had a game-winning drive against Washington the next week. Then he finally beat Dallas at home, primetime game, 4:30, the whole country watching. That was a huge moment for him. So I don't think this game tomorrow is as big as that one, because he started to answer some of his critics. That being said, this is his first playoff game. We all know what Nick Foles has done in the playoffs. He's 4-1 in an Eagles uniform in the playoffs. He's played at a very high level whenever he's been in the postseason. So fair or not, if Carson struggles tomorrow and he's deemed the reason they lose, he is going to have to live with that until the next time he plays in a playoff game. But such is life of being the quarterback for the Philadelphia Eagles.
Understood. It's not a what I've been trying to tell people all along, it's not a Carson Wentz thing. It's a Philadelphia quarterback thing, because they did it with Randall Cunningham. They did it with Donovan McNabb. If you sit in that chair, you're going to get overly critiqued unless you sit down and get up and sit down and get up like Nick Foles did. Last thing. How do you see it ending up tomorrow? Eagles advancing, or has this month-long magic carpet ride been fun but coming to an end against a team that they just have trouble beating?
Yeah, so I think it's important to view these two teams over what they've been recently as opposed to what they were earlier in the year. Over the last 4 weeks, the Eagles offense is averaging 8 more points per game than the Seahawks offenses. The Eagles defense is giving up, I think, about 10 points less than the Seahawks defenses. Doug Peterson is an underdog going into tomorrow. He's 4-1 in the playoffs as an underdog, and he's been an underdog in every single one of them. So he's been extremely impressive. He's a guy I would bet on in a big game. Russell Wilson always scares me. He's one of the best quarterbacks in the league. But I think tomorrow at home, the Eagles get the job done, and I think it might end up being rather comfortable. I think they win this game 27-17.
Ooh, yeah, double digits is comfortable. I'm not sure of that, but I'm leaning in your direction with the Birds finding a way to win, too. ESP, always a pleasure. Appreciate your insight. Thanks, brother. Enjoy the game tomorrow.
No problem. Talk to you soon, Jody.
LH Shore Parks covers the Eagles for 94WIP on-air stuff on their website, 94WIP.com. Like I said, he's been covering the Birds for years and has joined up with the radio station, the Eagles National Outlet, over the last couple of years. Jody Mack hanging with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Yes, two games tomorrow. We can talk about either of the two. We can talk about the game that's ongoing and or the game that's yet to come tonight. That's the one that I'm most interested in. Tom Brady's the last game, Tom Brady. I don't believe it. I don't think this is Tom Brady's fond farewell to New England. But if you do, tell me why. If you're with me, check in, and we'll try and beat down the naysayers who say this is Brady's last stand at Foxborough. 855-212-4227. Jody Mack, the Saturday get-together with you right here on CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.